Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting again with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, we did just have Jeff on the show, I believe it was a week or two ago, talking about the markets and sharing his outlook for mostly precious metals and some other economic factors. In this editorial, though, we do want to highlight an upcoming webinar that the CPM Group is hosting, called The Future of PGM. So focusing on those platinum group metals. The webinar will take place Tuesday, January 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Now, Jeff, start us off with just a general intro. Why set up a webinar for platinum group metals now, looking at both the long and short-term outlook?
Well, I guess there are a couple of reasons. First off, it's the beginning of the year. There are a lot of short-term issues that have been facing PGMs. If you look at palladium and rhodium, they both rose to very high record levels in early 2021 and came crashing down in the second half of the year. Platinum was like range-bound between 800 and 1,000 from 2015 until 2021, and they broke above that and made a run up to 1,300 early last year and then came crashing back down to levels below 900. As of today, they're back over 1,000. You know, so there's a lot of issues and questions that people have. The South African government has put together a public-private partnership to examine the PGM markets and the long-term issues that the PGM mining industry face, which we'll get back to in a second. You know, and there are a lot of issues with the auto industry and the auto demand for platinum group metals, because, you know, autos represent like 48% of platinum demand, 67% of palladium, and probably more than 90% of rhodium. Then there are these longer term issues. And we just completed, you know, since 2017, we used to produce long term reports that went out 10 years. But since 2017, we've been taking our platinum group metal projections out to 2050. And that's because there's so much uncertainty as to what the future of multi-motive propulsion technology will be. And there's a lot of uncertainty there, and there's a lot of numbers being bandied around that now are increasing. We've always questioned them, and we've said we think that the transition to electric vehicles is going to be much slower and hesitant than some projections. But you're now starting to see a lot of people question that. And, you know, there are a lot of people actually, or shouldn't say it this way, they're coming along to be more in line with CPM Group's view. Now, CPM Group's view actually has been in line with lower level people in the auto industry for a long time, who simply look at the supply of electricity, the stability of the grid, the supply of all of the raw materials and components you need to quickly go to electric vehicles. And, you know, these lower level officials at the auto industry have said, you know, those things aren't there. We can't move to have 50% of the cars being electric by 2030 and 100% by 2035. It's going to be a much slower change. And the International Energy Agency has said the same thing. So CPM Group just came out with its 2022 version of long-term outlook for platinum, palladium, and rhodium to the year 2050. So we're looking at it, you know, we have a lot of people who are asking us questions about what's going on with PGMs, what do we expect to happen this year and next year? And then we also have these long-term views that we've just put forth that actually dovetail into our work on manganese and cobalt, as well as our PGMs. So we decided to put it all together into an online seminar, which is, as you said, next Tuesday, and it's free to plug into.
Well, Jeff, you raised a lot of interesting points there just on the longer term outlook for the internal combustion engine versus the adoption rate of electric vehicles. A lot of people in the copper market would have told some of those people that, hey, the infrastructure is not there yet. We don't even have enough copper to get everything electrified, to get all the charging stations set up if you want to have 50% of the cars be electric. But we're also hearing another narrative with the PGMs, and that's around fuel cells. We hear quite a bit of noise about it. I'm not sure how much research the CPM Group has done into that adoption curve, but do you think that will be a factor for the PGMs, the fuel cell technology?
We think fuel cells are going to be a very small market for PGMs for a couple of reasons. And yeah, we've been researching fuel cells since the late 1970s. And since the late 1970s, the platinum industry in South Africa has put out these projections. Oh, within 10 years, we're going to be using 300, 400, 500, 600,000 ounces of platinum a year in fuel cells. And it's just never happened. And the amount of platinum being used in fuel cells right now is probably less than 40,000 ounces a year. And we're not big on fuel cells for a couple of reasons. First off, fuel cells themselves don't lend themselves to be used in on-the-road transportation. They're good for fleets like intercity buses or airport tarmac equipment or taxi cabs or forklifts, you know, where you have a fleet manager who can handle the hydrogen fueling as it now sits right now. But the other thing is that the platinum content of fuel cells has been diminished 99% since we started looking at it in 1978, 1979. And there's very little platinum actually used in these things. So you can engineer the remaining platinum away. So we see fuel cells as being a niche form of propulsion for fleets and not for on-road vehicles, which is really where you use a lot of the energy that goes into it. So we're not necessarily big on fuel cells. In addition to that, and one of the things to pay attention to is hydrogen engines. So the platinum industry in South Africa talks about, well, if we can get hydrogen cheaply and safely shipped, stored, and distributed to users, they'll use it in fuel cells. But the auto industry, if you talk to them, they say, if I can get hydrogen cheaply and safely shipped, stored, and distributed, I will switch to hydrogen engines. They're cheaper to make than engines that burn up gasoline or diesel. They're much, much cheaper than fuel cells. It's a technology that's been around since 1806. Yeah, about 50 years before commercial petroleum production began. The internal combustion engine, the proof of concept, was used hydrogen as a fuel. So you have to use a higher quality steel because of the corrosive nature of hydrogen. But if you can get that hydrogen cheaply to users, the auto industry would rather have hydrogen engines. They're more stable. They're less technologically sophisticated. They use fewer moving parts than an ICE engine that burns petroleum products. So, you know, and they're cheaper to make. So one of the things that we've looked at in our long-term study is the idea that electric vehicles may be an interim technology. And you can see a shift from petroleum-fueled vehicles toward electric vehicles over the next 10, 20 years. And then you might actually see a shift away from petroleum and electric propelled vehicles to hydrogen engines. By 2050, you could start seeing those coming in, displacing everything.
Well, Jeff, just one more question on the PGMs, and that is on the supply side from the mining companies. You know, it's been pretty locked up for decades in South Africa and in Russia for palladium, but there are a lot of renewed interest in mines around the world that have nickel because of the battery metals narrative. And a lot of nickel deposits also have PGMs, whether it's platinum, palladium, or rhodium as part of them. And I'm seeing a lot more of those get to the development stage. Some of them are getting bought out right now in takeover deals. Do you think we'll see more platinum supply come online from Australia and from North America because of the interest in nickel?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We actually used to work advise an Australian nickel company, and they actually had a few thousand ounces of PGM byproduct. And we had estimates as to how much they had, and we would ask them if we were accurate, and they said, we don't know, because, you know, we ship it off in tank house slimes and somebody in Japan refines it. So we really don't know how much platinum group metals we do. That was 30 years ago. They don't do that now. Now they know how much they're doing it. And the same is true with some of the nickel and copper producers in the United States and in Canada, where they didn't pay a lot of attention to their platinum and palladium byproducts, but now they do. And I think that there are some very interesting properties. You know, we're going to have several sponsors of the online seminar that are Canadian exploration companies that are looking at properties either in Canada or the United States that actually could be producing platinum and palladium and rhodium as well as nickel.
So, Jeff, that ties into what I was going to ask you regarding the overall theme of this webinar. I realize it's investment focused with a look at these metals, but how deeply will you be diving into any of the companies, either production or exploration companies in either of the PGM Group metals?
Yeah, CPM Group is registered as a commodities-oriented company, you know, and we don't do, we do securities research for internal consumption. We have to look at these companies and say, how much PGMs do we think they'll be producing? Do we think they'll get into production? Because quite frankly, a lot of the things you hear about as PGM exploration companies, we've been listening to them say that they're going to be in production since the 1980s, and they're still not there. So we do the securities research, but because we're not registered as security advisors, and because a lot of securities analysts use our basic commodity data, and because a lot of clients are mining companies that produce this stuff, and we don't necessarily always have a positive outlook for the markets, we don't do securities research publicly. So we look at them and we know them, and you have to do a screening of them and say, you know, this is what we think production will come from a mine by mine and company by company basis. But we won't go into that in public, I'm afraid.
That's totally fair. When it comes to some of the price projections, or at least long-term projections, you have stated that you're looking the whole way out to 2050. How much focus is going to be on the near term, though? Because in all fairness, investors, they want to know what's happening tomorrow, 30 years down the road. Well, they get a little distracted at that point.
Yeah, most of our attention, I hope, will be on the short term. So, you know, we're going to look at the various issues that have been restraining our industry production of vehicles and therefore demand for PGMs. We'll be looking at the shift away from palladium back toward platinum and auto catalysts. We'll be looking more at the next, I think, 2 years or 3 years outlook, which is a typical investor's horizon. But we will pay attention to the long-term issues, because those actually have been positive for PGMs in the long term. And they, I think you have to pay attention to them, because the long-term expectations of PGM demand will continue to influence investor interest in the short-term investment opportunities in PGMs.
All right. Jeff, appreciate taking some time to share with us this upcoming webinar. We will post a link below this interview where everyone can register for free. And again, this event is happening Tuesday, January 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern time. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Jeff regarding this webinar and wants some more information, feel free to email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. And we will pass those notes and questions over to Jeff. Jeff, thanks again for your time, buddy. I look forward to tuning in to this PGM webinar.
Thank you.